let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. And this week we find Onanta in the Canary Islands. So hello, Onanta.
Hi, Randy. Hola.
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 Is that like the main greeting in the Canary Islands? I don't think so. I think a lot of people speak English in the Canary Islands, don't they?
Absolutely. You should see the number of Brits that are here. Oh, my word. You would think it was Little Britain. I went on a tour the other day, and they were saying that Irish people are the top tourists here. But everybody I've met so far in our complex is from Manchester. So all I want to do is talk to them about Coronation Street, which is kind of sad. But
I thought you were going to talk about soccer, like Man U, but no, I guess not.
Well, speaking of football, yes. So in the various bars and lounges throughout the island, they actually post the football games so that, and there is a number of people that make it an event to go watch their team. So it's huge, huge draw for bars and restaurants here. And it's funny because this is our snowboard adventure for escaping winter of Canada and Calgary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not long ago, the term snowbird meant one thing, retirement. You work all year, you escape the cold for a few months, put life on pause. But today that idea has completely changed because it's not just taking about a break from life. Because with technology, you get to work if you wish. And people are working later in their life. Mm-hmm. They're logging in from beach towns, desert cities, RV parks. So I think the goal isn't to feel like you're on vacation when you're a snowboard anymore. Maybe if you're lucky and you don't want to, that could be your direction, but it's to live like a local and you almost have to think like that, before you leave because you're not there as a tourist. Yes, you're going to explore the destination, but you don't have to be a mad tourist and do it in the first week, right? Because you have more mm-hmm. time to do it. Mm-hmm. And so before you leave, you know, you need to simplify your life back home. So go digital wherever possible. Set up online banking, electric bill pay, mail forwarding, and you know, somebody to check on your home. And next I would do is research your destination the way you would if you were moving there. So check internet speeds, public transportation, healthcare options, grocery stores, and neighborhood markets. And those everyday details will matter far more than the tourist attractions when you're living somewhere for weeks and months. And so we are in probably 10 days in the Canary Islands. So that's our first week was just trying to figure out what grocery store to go to. Because you don't want to go to a grocery store that the tourist goes to. You want to go to one that the residents go to. Because then if you go to places that tourists go, the prices are going to be higher. So you have to consider that. Mm-hmm. And to find that out, you have to talk to people. Like, you know, talk to locals, talk to other snowbirds that are here. And then the other thing, which is a big piece, is housing. So instead of hotels, you're going to be looking for month-to-month rentals or longer-term Airbnbs, maybe even house-sitting opportunities or home exchange, because longer stays often mean better rates and a better sense of community because you don't want to isolate yourself either. And then, you know, when you're booking your travel, flexibility helps. One-way or changeable flights give you freedom and traveling in during shoulder season can save you money while avoiding crowds. Because that's what a lot of people, when they go to Europe, and a lot of tour companies that offer Europe, say, you know, offer like Q1 to come to Europe mm-hmm. as a lower or quieter time to come here. You can avoid the crowds. We chose the Canary Islands because it's supposed to be the warmest destination in Europe. It's been one of the coldest winters here that the locals are telling me. But then that, you know, it's a sense of what do you bring when you travel, right? because you think it's going to be warm, but potentially it could not be. And you don't want to spend your good or hard-earned money buying things when you're here, like clothes, but sometimes you have to. Another thing that we had to really prepare for and investigate was health prep. So I had to refill some of my prescriptions for the time I was away, understand how local healthcare works, and where would I go if I needed care. So lots of things to keep in mind. And as I had mentioned to you, I still work while I'm away remotely. And so what I've had to do is adjust my time zone's responsibilities with that of home. So we're 7 hours ahead of Calgary. So technically my work day is starting. But the thing I had to really look at was where we rented, what was the Wi-Fi like? Because they're, you know, on the ship, the Wi-Fi wasn't always amazing. And then think about what your mobile office looks like. So I have a great lightweight laptop, good battery life. I have a long extension cord because sometimes you just need that long extension cord because the plugins aren't always where you need them to be. And then you just have to think about, you know, when is playtime and when is work time? But that's okay. You can sort that out pretty quick, depending on your clientele and your time zone necessity. But the first thing we did when we were here, we just explored the neighborhood. We walk as much as possible. We're trying to figure out public transit. And then, like we said, we kind of find our everyday spots early, like grocery stores or fresh markets or pharmacies. We found a dollar store that kind of comes in handy. it does too, because somebody set up in their rental may not be what you need, right? So sometimes you just have to figure out what makes you comfortable in that place, because you don't want to be, because this is your home, right? So you just want to let go of that tourist mindset and set up your home that you can enjoy it. And then I don't know if you've ever been on holiday or away, but you end up kind of wearing the same thing over and over because it's just comfortable. And that's what you do. Like you kind of, you know, pick your comfortable clothes, your casual clothes, and helps you blend in. Don't wear a lot of jewelry still, even like this is a very tourist destination and you can't, and it's very, very safe, but you don't need to wear tons of jewelry. Mm-hmm. We're learning basic phrases in the local language. I think those little efforts go a long way in building connections. And what we're doing is we're creating a routine, like work hours, walks, catching the bus to go somewhere, finding out where the locals go to grocery shop. So we went to Lidl the other day, L-I-D-L, got groceries, which is a lot less expensive and more variety than the Hippo Express that's across the street, even though it's convenient. Mm-hmm. And then we just talk to people, like, you know, find out where they go for like entertainment and such. We're trying to eat where the locals eat. You know, we talk to taxi drivers. One thing of note, there's no Uber in the Canary Islands.
Oh.
Yeah, so you have to think about that. So it's been quite interesting. So since we've been here, I took a tour, and it gave me kind of a lay of the land of the southern portion of the island. There's not very far as the capital city, Arecife, that we can go to if we wish. We went to a Sunday market last week called the Tagaze Market. It is huge. It is wild. It is so many people. It was amazing. But again, markets, in my experience in the past, you know, you can get some nice produce or maybe pick up something like a ready-to-eat meal that you can just heat up when you are, you know, you don't have to cook every night, but you don't want to also go out every night for a meal, right?
Mm-hmm. It's very expensive then.
Very expensive. And we are dealing with the euro. And I think it's almost like the exchange rate is 1.6. So money matters. Like, you know, yes, you're not in a resort. So that, you know, that's an additional expense, but you still have to budget accordingly, and you still have to, I would recommend you see what you are, how you spend accordingly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I have a number of questions.
Please.
You can probably tell, because first of all, I know nothing about the Canary Islands, but when you were mentioning just getting there, and I think you said you had a one-way ticket, did you not?
Yes, wait, I did, because okay. we started.
Yeah, because you're not sure how long you're going to stay there.
Right. And we didn't know, and we started with the cruise, so.
Yeah. So my question is.
Yes.
Is did you run into immigration problems or anything like that because or did you need a visa? Because a lot of places, and I'll use the United States, for example, they want to know if you have a return ticket. I used to run into this problem all the time on the cruise ships because I was working and I had a one-way ticket. And they would always take me aside saying, why do you have a one-way ticket? When are you getting out of our country? So I'm curious, did you need a visa? Did you have issues with immigration, or did you have to have any sort of paperwork done?
The only time we needed visas was when we were on the ship and we were going through different places in Africa. But coming to Europe, we didn't go through the UK, so we didn't need a UK ETA. But if you are going through, and good thing that you brought that up, because they are getting very strict. It's not a transitionary period anymore. You have to have that UK ETA if you're transiting or visiting it. And as far as transiting through Europe to get to the Canary Islands, we went through Zurich, and we did notice that they have that new, it's called EES system, where you, it's getting electronic. It's biometric now to get through, but it wasn't an issue to do it. So actually nobody asked me if I had a return ticket. because I don't know whether it's because, we were coming off a ship and we were going to different places, like to get to here. It was all pretty straightforward. The Canary Islands, it's actually off the coast of Northwest Africa. And it is part of Spain, but it's an autonomous community. And it's quite beautiful. Like it has, year round, like spring like weather or climate. And that's why I think a lot of people in Europe, UK and Irish people are number one. It used to be Germans because they always seek the sun, but people like to come here for the UK or Northern European winter. There's 8 islands here. Tenerife, Gran Canaria, Lanzarote, and another 5 that offer a mix of tourism. But the 3 I mentioned are probably the most that are inhabited. And you know, here you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the ocean, or you could go hiking. On the island we are, Lanzarote, there's a great volcano park that's very interesting. It can be very busy. Tenerife is the largest island. It's probably the most touristic inclined island. And then Gran Canaria is known for its, landscapes, like the diverse landscapes that it has, including beaches and mountains and cities. And here it is the volcano park, the landscapes. Everything is like you learn about the volcano soil, for the lack of a better term for it, and how it grows and how it will showcase or feature wineries are called bodegas. Yes, I'm saying that wrong. And the art and the architecture of Cesar Manrique. So it's lots to learn while you're here. The culture is lovely because it is Spanish, and it has different island influences. But you do hear, people saying here, because of the high volume of tourism on the local infrastructure, sometimes that can create a little bit of clashing. And I don't think it's about the tourists coming, because tourism is one of their major their major revenue, a source for the locals. Mm-hmm. But it's about, you know, people who rent out their place or rent out their apartment that used to go to a local, and now they're renting it out for a higher price to a snowbird.
A long-stay snowbird? Basic,
yes, absolutely. And so, and then the government hasn't kind of replaced that with other housing for the locals, right? So that's why I think there can be a very negative aspect or thought about who we are as far as visitors into the islands. But I haven't encountered anything like that here. I've been very, whoever I encounter is very gracious, very liking to our visits. And I try really hard to speak some, not good Spanish to engage, because that's what you do when you go somewhere else. You don't want to, you don't want everything to be the same as home, right? That's why you leave home.
True. Exactly.
Yes.
Now, you also mentioned using your computer and thing. What about the power outlets? I'm assuming it's direct current versus our AC current, and you need converters?
Absolutely. It's a great point. Actually, I was reminded by my partner to say something about that, because, yes, one of the things you do have to pack is a converter or a currency adapter, because, yes, you do need it, because the plugins are not the same as home. And even on the ship, there was only one 110 voltage. The rest were all European plugins too. So you have to keep that in mind too, even though the ships go all over the world, right?
Interesting stuff. Well, I've learned a lot. So
it is good. It's it's a good, if you have the opportunity, the resources and the time to do a long stay, it's something different to do. It's something to, in, you work long in your life, right? You might as well take advantage of the world as it is right now, because you never know when that will change.
Well, that's true too. And of course, it depends on the job and everything like that. But technology certainly makes it a lot easier than it was, say, 20 years ago to work remotely and become a snowbird, even though you're not retired. So good on you.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, we're very lucky. We're very grateful for the opportunity. So, it's nice. One of the things, our rental looks out the ocean, and every day you can see pretty much a cruise ship arrive on this island. Today there's three of them in, but, like some of the ships, and that's why I think sometimes the locals can get mad. One ship can be over 6,000 clients. So
yeah,
can you imagine
about
three ships?
Busy. That's when it gets busy.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Onanta Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Well, enjoy your time in the Canary Islands. Appreciate your input.
Thank you.